One of the most astonishing developments since the fall of the Taliban has been the number of refugees streaming back to Afghanistan. Among the more than 2 million Afghans expected home by this fall are many looking to set up businesses. As part of our series, Recreating Afghanistan, I visit a newly opened factory to chronicle the hurdles one man has faced along the way to starting a new business. His problems are the ones Afghanistan needs to solve if businesses are to thrive there. Masood Amazota said he never thought he'd own a company here. For most of his adult life, 23 years, he was in exile, running factories elsewhere, Turkey, Syria, until last spring, Iran.
After the government of Taliban collapsed, I was very hopeful and optimistic, and I decided to come back to my country.
Masood Amazota's idea was to relocate his metalwork factory in Iran back to Afghanistan, where it is really needed.
I had this opinion that if I go there, I would be able to start up my industry and employ about 100 people. And most of these people would come from the ordinary people who are now out on the streets and who are begging. So in this sense, our industry is very important.
Masood Amazota's found an old building among a half dozen other factories outside Kabul in what passes here for an industrial park, and he put up a big hand-painted billboard along the highway. It depicts a sparkling blue and gold skyscraper rising alongside a bombed-out gray hulk next to his company name and the words, "Producer of aluminum doors, metal, and glass. Come and let us rebuild our country together."
I met business people from Iran who've come back. I met one this morning from Pakistan.
Raganhild Ek is the spokesperson for the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees in Kabul. She says no one here expected to see so many refugees coming home with so much to offer.
They've closed down their shops and they've come here. And you will see the center of town has changed quite dramatically.
Raganhild Ek says most of the businesses brought back by refugees are small businesses.
They're opening groceries. Somebody told me there are 5,000 new taxis that have arrived from Dubai in the last few months, which is why you see the whole place is packed with yellow taxis. Hairdressers are opening up. You still have your hair washed with a bucket of water, but it's in the hairdresser salon. These things are growing by the week.
It's hot this afternoon at Masood Amazota's factory. In t-shirts soaked through with sweat, two young workers pound out dents in an aluminum frame. This is the aluminum department, he says. Here is where we make doors and windows. Masood Amazota set up this factory 3 months ago. He'd heard that the government was offering free land on the outskirts of Kabul to encourage people to open businesses here, but he couldn't find anyone in the government to tell him how to go about applying for this land. So he went ahead and signed a lease on an old cinder block warehouse with nothing extraordinary about it except the rent, $10,000 a month, which he had to pay, he says, to get a big, intact building near Kabul wired for electricity so he could get up and running.
The products that we make are doors which have metallic frames, frames for tall buildings, also kitchen cabinet, vertical curtains, and pipes for gas, which runs into houses and buildings.
When the reconstruction of downtown Kabul gets underway in earnest, Masood Amazota says he will be there, ready to provide the frames for the tallest buildings. He hopes, anyway, which brings him to the long list of problems he's faced just to get this far. Even before he started paying an exorbitant rent on his factory, Amazota had to shell out large sums of money just to truck his equipment into the country. That's because the road from Iran to Kabul runs through two provinces controlled by powerful warlords. And throughout many years of war and lawlessness, the warlords of Herat and Kandahar had felt free to collect duties and taxes on their own.
I brought 30% of the equipment that I had outside the country. And when my equipment arrived to Herat, I had to pay tax for that in Herat. When they got to Kandahar, again I had to pay tax. Paying the tax is not an issue. In other countries, when you import something, you just pay one tax, and that is it. Is Afghanistan one country or just three countries that I have to pay different taxes in different places?
Across town, the Ministry of Commerce is housed in a building cooled by shade trees and tall white windows opening into wood-paneled rooms. The building also sports Kabul's first internet cafe, opened just this month and complete with its own cappuccino machine. In his office, Minister Syed Mustafa Kazmi offers tea, the drink favored by Afghans, and shakes his head when I relay to him the factory owner's tale of taxes. The central government, he says, has banned the practice.
Supporting businessmen has been a goal of the current administration in Afghanistan, and it was agreed that provinces cannot have multi-collection taxing, and when a tax is collected, it should come to the central government.
The central government celebrated a minor victory last month when the former warlord, now governor of the province of Herat, turned over $250,000 in taxes collected mostly as import duties at the border. Afghanistan is also offering businesses several years of tax-free operation, which is why Masoud Amazota hasn't been asked to pay tax to the central government. But he has been asked to pay bribes when he went to various government offices to set up the basics for doing business, like electricity and telephone service.
I asked for some of these things, and they were demanding money.
President Hamid Karzai has been quite open on the subject of bribery. On several occasions, he has admitted that the culture of bribery is a major problem for Afghanistan. Commerce Minister Syed Mustafa Kazmi.
Financial corruption is a part of the 23 years of destruction and war in Afghanistan.
The Commerce Minister says that to eliminate bribery, the government is going to have to hire more professionals and treat the civil service now in place more professionally.
Previously, government employees didn't have insurance, didn't have security, didn't have good pay. Therefore, if the government provides better working conditions, then this shall resolve another portion of the problem.
Back out at Masoud Amanzota's factory, a young man runs a piece of scrap metal through a saw. Hot orange sparks swirl wildly around his bare face and arms. So far, Masoud Amanzota has only hired 22 workers, less than a quarter of what he hopes his workforce will be. He managed to get electricity, and refusing to pay a bribe for a telephone, he ended up paying a private installer a lot to put in a line. All he needs now is a government permit to do business, and after many trips to a bewildering array of government offices, he still hasn't been issued one. Without a permit, he can't advertise for customers or workers. So after 3 months of making products, factory owner Masoud Amanzota still can't legally sell them. I ask him, has anything been easier than you expected?
No. It was really very difficult. Right now, I'm in a 50-50 state. Sometimes I think that I will sell all the equipment and leave. And then part of me tells me, wait here, things might get better. And so I will see what happens.